Okay, checking the proximity effect. Actually, I'll do it like right up on the mic. Checking the proximity effect from I don't know how far away, but I'll overlap that ruler so you can see it. And then I'll back up a little bit after I say a few more words. So yeah, we will find out soon what the proximity effect is by making this evened out with the volume levels. And hopefully I'm speaking at the same volume level for all these different takes. And then backing up a little bit more. So yeah, I'm trying to maintain the same volume level while speaking each time as I back up farther and farther. So what I'll do is a final test, and hopefully I remember to do this, is I will speak and then slowly back my mouth away from the microphone. So I'll back away a little bit more now. Check. Yes, indeed. So yeah, maintaining the same volume because I don't want to make that a variable. So we'll continue. This is about maybe a little bit less than podium level. Maybe this is about podium level if you're not that far away from the mic. But we'll see. This is mainly a test for me to see about podium quality, because typically you're not going to hold the mic that far away if you're on the podium. But we'll find out. So I'll move back a little bit more now. Hopefully that ruler overlap sounds good. Okay, maintaining the same volume level right now. Warm audio, making that audio warm. That's the idea with that proximity effect change. But I highly doubt it'll sound the same this far away. I really can't estimate how far away this is. But hopefully that measuring tape stretched back this far, because I'm going to do one more test. Okay, now I'm way far back. Again, maintaining the same volume just to make sure I'm not affecting anything. Although you probably will hear a noise boost by now because it'll have to be boosted a lot. But I'm very curious about the proximity effect, without any other variables except for gain to match the volume fluctuation. If this thing sounds just as warm back here as it does when I'm an inch or two away from the mic, that is extremely impressive. So I'll only be able to hear it after I load it into my DAW and up the levels. Okay, now the sweet spot. The best way I guess I could do this is just to maybe hold out a note, and I'm a terrible singer. So I guess the best way is to go on this side so you guys can see it, but you're not going to be able to see the angle. Okay. Ray, I guess I'll do Ray. That's the best I can do. I don't know if that was equidistant or not. We'll find out, I guess. So that was the sweet spot detection. And on to the next test, I guess. The number one rule with handheld mics is don't cup the mic. So this luckily has a grip where there's an edge right here where it kind of comes up. It's probably hard to see on camera, but it like comes out a little bit. So your hand will naturally go and stop right where that starts. So, but I want to test this out just to see the effect that cupping the microphone has if somebody were to do it. Because there's people who will do it. Check 1, 2. I'm cupping the mic. I'm cupping the mic. Yes. I don't know, I feel weird even doing this because it just feels wrong. You know, this is not how I hold a microphone normally. So, yeah. So, check this out. Let's compare the cupped mic to the uncupped mic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I can count the 12. Yay. So this is cupping the mic test. Okay, this is the popped peas test, also known as plosives. And those are those low-end thumps that happen when you speak into a microphone. Supposedly, this microphone minimizes those, so this is the true test of the popped peas. So I'm about 2 inches away from the mic right now. So I'll get up really close on the thing and do some popped peas as if I was singing into this thing, because some people do eat the microphone. So popped peas, popped peas. Popped peas, popped peas. I'm backing away. Popped peas, popped peas. Popped peas, popped peas. Popped peas, popped peas. Popped peas, popped peas. By the way, I did try my Stedman microphone pop screen on this, and it does work quite effectively. So if you were using this in the studio for recording vocals, yeah, that's possible. But live stage use, if the pops are bad, then I think the next best thing to try, which I do not have, is a windscreen accessory. But so far my experience with this mic is that it does have a plosive issue. It's not any better than like a SM58. So that's at least my opinion on that. So actually my next test is handling noise. So what I'll do, you know what? That's probably a bad idea. I gotta unwrap this mic cable first, and then I'll be back with the test. I have the mic cable unwrapped from the stand now so that I'm able to do the mic handling test, which apparently there's some kind of pneumatic pump or something in this mic. Anyway, it's supposed to minimize handling noise, and I am using my Mogami cable, which is also supposed to minimize handling noise. I didn't want to use a cheap cable, even though the cheap cable does plug in to my connector. If you guys saw the unboxing video, I was having issues with that, and I did see Sweetwater's video about this microphone, and they had a Neuchert connector that worked perfectly fine, which is what the Mogami cable has on it. It's a Neuchert connector. Their Neuchert connector worked fine, so I do have a lemon of a microphone, at least as far as the notch is concerned. So I'm going to take this thing off the stand right now and move it around a little bit and see what it sounds like, or hear what it sounds like later on. Emotion! I'm moving my mic around like a singer would. I'm not grabbing the mic cable, I'm just moving it around. Now I'm going to move it around like an interview microphone. By the way, that's one reason why they started doing all wireless mics for interviewers, because when you take away the wire, there's less handling noise. Emotion! Destruction! I don't know. Yeah. I will move this around a lot. Here, I'm going to move this stand out of the way so that it's only the cable moving. It's kind of at an unfair disadvantage because of the issue of it not clicking in, but it seems like it's not coming out of the mic yet. So, but because it's not clicked in, it's probably moving around a little bit. I don't even know if it's the connection staying in. It should be. I'm not editing any of that out. Any noise you hear is what's being picked up on the mic. And I'll give you guys my subjective opinion of it, or objective opinion. I'm trying to remain not subjective with all these Audio Skeptic Society videos. So we'll see the handling noise. Now, while holding the cable, because some singers do hold the cable while they sing. So So that should be less noise, I would assume, but I'm going to put it on the ground again. By the way, I do have carpeted floors, so that's obviously not, does not simulate a stage. So a stage might have different handling with the cable noise, but we'll find out in a second. But, you know, my main thing is how much, here's another test I could do with handling. Back and forth between my hands. Fascinating stuff. So I might shorten this video, but I think that was a good test of how much handling this thing actually has. And I'll actually walk it back when I'm going to turn the recording off right now. I'm going to take the mic back with me and hear if it does anything.